Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. And Debbie, that announcement just came straight from the heart, too. That's right. That's a wonderful event. Well, good morning. Nice to see you all. And you know, maybe you're accustomed to these kinds of words. And I called them in my notes parting words. You know, before you're separating from a friend or a family member, you just say, well, be good. I've actually had people in our congregation say to me, well, why would you want to go and spoil all my fun? You know, maybe that was you. Actually, it was somebody that was here and part of our service today. Being good. Oh, come on. I don't have to be good all the time, do I? So what faces come to your mind when you think of goodness? Somebody who practices goodness. Maybe it might be somebody that's in this place. I'm really delighted to say that there are a lot of people in this congregation, a lot of people who live out what we are instructed to value and practice, and that is goodness. You know, the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the church at Galatia, and he's talking to them about following the Lord and following him so closely. He refers to it as walking in the Spirit. Now, this is such an important thing because, you know, there was a time when someone came up to Jesus and said to Jesus, good teacher, and he had a question. What can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. So how does that make you feel when somebody says to you, hey, be good? You feel like they just gave me an impossible assignment, right? I kind of feel that way sometimes. Maybe a lot. Would you turn in your Bibles? I'm going to turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 11. I'm going to be reading this morning. All the scripture that I read today I'll be taking from the New American Standard Bible. I know many of you have the New International Version. Some of you have the English Standard Version, the ESV. But I'll be working this morning from the ESV. You know, now Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. What's next? Kindness. Some Bibles say gentleness and goodness. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. To that text that I just referred to, Mark, turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, puts us right in the middle of this this interview with this young man. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18. As he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." And then Luke chapter 6. Turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, we're going to dive in at verse 32. Luke chapter 6, verse 32. "And if you love those who love you, well, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do that same thing. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount." Tit for tat, right? Verse 35. "But love your enemies and do good and lend." Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Father, I pray that now we would, you'd take us and quicken our spirits, Lord, make them alive to listen carefully to the Spirit as you probe our minds and hearts. Lord, you've made it very clear in your word that you want us to reflect the Christ that is in us. You want us to reflect the Spirit who is in us. And you want us to reflect and mirror the very attributes of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So teach us, Lord. Guide our minds, our hearts, and our thoughts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to talk this morning about reflecting Christ, and really it's simply reflecting Christ as we walk in the Spirit and demonstrating in that reflection his kindness and his goodness. You know, there's a number of people wore bracelets, and we would talk a lot about what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, how do you know what Jesus would do? And is this is that some sort of a magical connection? You know, how do I go about doing that? Am I supposed to remember everything he did? Like, this is a manual, and now that this person just treated me this way, let me see a turn. Or this person had this objection to who God is. And this person mocked Christians, and this person challenged Christians. So what would Jesus do? Now, where did he come into it? Where did he have a similar circumstance like that? Well, Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't worry when you're confronted with challenges that are way beyond you, because the Spirit will give you, the Holy Spirit that will be in you, will give you the thoughts and the words to say in situations like that. Those are words for all of us. And I wonder, do we believe that? Do all of us believe that? And what does it take to be ready? Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, set apart Christ as the Lord in your heart, so you're always ready for opportunities like that, to give people a reason for the hope that's within you. And when, as you do, as we sanctify Christ, as we respond to the Holy Spirit that is in us, when our neighbors or our unbelieving friends say, that doesn't make sense. That church that's meeting outside on their lawn, you know, and they've got their instruments playing and they're just destroying the atmosphere, the nice, peaceful Sunday morning atmosphere for all of their neighbors. What an affront to the people all around them. Those kind of things happen. And they happen in this community, that people would say things like that. So how do you respond at a time like that? How do you reflect the kindness and the goodness of God? The kindness and the goodness of the Son, Jesus. How do we reflect that? Well, first of all, let's think about we're going to look at these two words that in many respects are very similar, the kindness and the goodness of God. And we sang some songs today that put those words together, side by side. And I put them together, even though there wasn't the word and in the text that from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. How will we reflect the kindness and goodness of God? We're going to just break these two words down a little bit, see where God's word talks about him as being kind, about him as being good. We'll try to understand what those words mean as they refer to God, as they refer to his commands for us. And we'll stop and we'll try to think about together. And I want to urge you to engage your mind and heart. When you come down to the third section under each one of these words, it says beautiful reflections of kindness. And think about what that looks like in the people around us. How do we see that? In whose lives? And we also need to stop and think about, so what does God want me to do with this? Where do I need to take this from here? You know, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, add to your faith goodness. Add to your faith kindness. Well, you began this life in Christ. So keep adding to your faith. Keep growing in the way you express God's kindness. The kindness of his Son, Jesus. Add to your faith that kindness and add to your faith that goodness. We want to keep practicing as we keep the gaze of our soul on him. The kindness of God. This word kindness, there's a Greek word that I want you to think about, and there's a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word is the word chesed, H-E-S-E-D, if you want to, this is the transliteration of that Hebrew word, chesed. Chesed means loyalty. It really refers to when we're talking about God, the loyalty of God, as well as the loyalty of a friend. A kind person is someone who is loyal. It refers to the loving kindness of God. Or as I believe the ESV version of the Bible calls it, the loving kindness of God, the steadfast love of the Lord. It means his love is very deeply rooted. And this loyal love is tied into, it really refers to his covenant love, his promised love. I said I would love you. I said I would love you forever. I said that that love would be a loyal love. I would be loyal to you. So the Hebrew word, and it is all over the Old Testament, this chesed, this loyal love of God. The New Testament word, the Greek word, is the word krestotes. Krestotes, it really refers to the gentleness of God. His gentleness. Always to be coming alongside of us and experiencing that kind of loyal gentleness. I can count on this response. But don't when you think of this word gentleness, this kind of loyal love, don't think of some mamby-pamby love that is just, it has no real strength to it. It's just kind of a mindless, sympathetic, and something that's just for Hallmark cards and not for real life living. It is a loyal love. It is a strong love. Turn with your Bibles, please, to Exodus. We're going to move to a few different texts. Exodus chapter 34. This Exodus 34 is full of some very, very strong words about the kindness of God. Exodus 34, and you can write these texts down, look at them later. Again, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, in front of Moses. And this is what, and proclaimed this. The Lord, he uses his covenant-keeping name, Yahweh God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in, here's the word, loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sins, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on children and on grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. God is very, very serious about sin. So don't think in his kindness that he just kind of ignores sin. He doesn't ignore it. We look at the cross and we think God never ignores sin. That cross says, this is how far I will go in order to show my loving kindness to you, my loyal love, so that you can be forgiven. Verse 7, who keeps loving kindness for thousands and who forgives iniquity, transgressions, and sin. Turn to Psalm 36. Psalm 36. Again, we're referring to the loving kindness of God. Psalm 36, verses 5 and 6. In this psalm, this song of David, he just again mounts up these expressions, these very, very worshipful, these worshipful expressions about God's kindness. Verse 5, thy loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the skies. Thy righteousness is like the mighty mountains of God. Thy judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest both man and beast. And there in the ESV, it would read, your steadfast love, verse 5, your steadfast love, deeply rooted, I was thinking about that. I read one. I think it was Ann Ortberg who wrote these words. She said, "I'm sitting at a harbor and I'm looking out at a boat, some boats just bobbing right here, and I'm thinking about these nice big sailboats, and they've got one thing that's pretty common in the sailboats that you see that go out on the ocean, is that they have a very, very deep keel. So that when the winds at sea push that boat over in a full sail, you've got this deep keel, this, like in a boat, a smaller boat that floats around in a lake, you would call it you'd call it like a running board. It's just they're fairly deep, but they can kind of go up and down. But these deep keels," and she said, "that's the word steadfast. God says that his loving kindness," in his word, David pulls this out, "his loving kindness, it's so deeply, his kindness is deeply embedded in the water." 1 Thessalonians, please, in the New Testament, one of the letters of Paul, as he refers to the kindness of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. I'll begin with verse 5. "For we never came with flattering speech when we came to you, as you know that, with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from other men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we proved to be gentle." There's an expression of this word for a kindness. "We proved to be gentle," or kind, "among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." And then, just to remind you right now about the kindness of God, in Luke chapter 6, which we already read, he speaks about that God is kind. He is kind to, as he tells us to be kind to our enemies, right? He says, "Be kind. And be like your heavenly Father, who is kind or gentle to to his enemies, to those who are ungrateful and those who are immersed in wickedness. God is kind." It's called, in some circles, it's called like a general grace that he extends to people, even by giving them time to turn to him. God commands us to be, he commands us in that passage in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, but also in 2 Timothy. We're in Thessalonians, so just go to the next set of little letters. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. Paul writes, "The Lord's bondservant," now this is you, Timothy, and this is all of you who consider yourselves to be serving the Lord. Listen to this. "The Lord's bondservant," verse 24, "the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to whom?" The Lord's bondservant. Any one of us who would say that I want to serve the Lord. I just want to serve the Lord wherever I am. When I'm with my family, when I'm with my friends, when I'm with the people that I work with, the Lord's bondservant, somebody who wants to serve him, must be kind to all, to everyone. What about this person who's always trying to undermine my work? I'm supposed to be kind to them? What's the answer? Yeah. Does that person fall under all? Yeah, because God is likewise so kind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, that it says right there, love is kind. If we love people, we will be kind to them. We often read that at wedding ceremonies, but that's, love is always kind. And it is never withholding of kindness. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3, you don't have to turn to this, but let me just, what a wonderful reference in this wisdom literature. This is the way, if you want to live a life that's wise, rather than just trying to stumble through it and just, this is two verses in front of what that verse that so many of us have embraced in Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Trust in the Lord. And as you do this, this precedes this, Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind kindness and truth around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. Some beautiful reflections of kindness. How do you see it? Where do you see reflections of kindness? What does that look like in this applies to so many aspects of life. But it, for me, certain thoughts and ideas come out. This kind of kindness, which is gentle, and it is a loyal love, it is a steadfast love. I see this in people who show respect to others. How do you show respect to other people? We're called on to show respect every day, aren't we? How about that commitment to pray faithfully to people? We flash the little symbol, right? The little emoji to people when they say, this is happening, and we give them a quick, I've got a lot of messages to get through right now, so I just tell them I'm going to pray. But someone who is kind follows through with that and keeps remembering. We heard this week from Dorothy that her daughter, Deborah, who lives in Texas, was back in the hospital. She had COVID, and when she was released back to go home, she seemed to be doing fine, and we were praying for Dorothy. But then she sent us another message, and she called a few of us and told us Deborah's back in the hospital. And so we want to let her know, we're praying for you. I've promised to a lot of people that I'd pray, but it's so easy to, out of sight, out of mind, like a little child. When mom and dad leave the room, mom and dad don't exist until they come back in, face to face. But a person that's kind continues to remember. And they might pray for Deborah, and Deborah's with a bacterial infection in her lung, the result of pneumonia. We'll continue to pray for her. Or we'll remember to pray for another one of our missionaries, kind of day after day, and that's Debbie O'Connor and Patrick, as she comes to the end of her life. Well, it's almost over, but we continue. Kind people, with nobody seeing us doing this, and maybe nobody hearing, remember to pray. This is loving kindness. It is a faithful promise. Remember, this kind of love is a promise-keeping love. That's why when we see it in the love chapter and we read it at weddings, we promise to love and be kind to each other. That's a vow. That's a covenant. I think of people in this room who show that they reflect, and I witnessed this just the other day, and the just repeatedly in certain people. People who show this kind of this kind of kindness, and I think it comes from that person's relationship with Christ. It is a sincere mindset and attitude of hospitality. Now, you know, hospitality is being hospitable, right? It means you want people to always feel welcome. You don't want people to feel like they're being ignored. Have you ever gone up to somebody, maybe there was a little group of people, two or three people talking, and they looked at you, and you know them all well. You know them. Maybe you've been out to dinner with them, and you walk up, you just kind of come up and you stand there, and it's almost like their body position changes to kind of block you out. It happens sometimes. We've all probably done that, because I don't want to be interrupted in what I'm communicating with this person, so I've now blocked you out. People that show hospitality, it just seems like they always have, a mindset to make the stranger or friends, people who don't know each other, they help them feel welcome. We're gonna talk about we continue to promote the Come to Him banquet or the event, the fundraiser. But James and Kay Chambers, wow, did they show hospitality? So much so that they put their names on the line to rent facilities to give people who were in a need of transitional housing, give them a place to live. And what a demonstration of kindness, gentleness, and loyal love. So how is your relationship to Christ and your walking with the Spirit, how's that affecting your own personal relationship to the people around you, so that you are actually literally demonstrating the kind of loyal love that you see in the one who shows loyal love to you? How do you demonstrate the kind of love that you see James and Kay Chambers? Now, James is gone, and yet Kay is like this elegant, wonderful wife and mom and hostess that makes anybody who walks into the room feel welcome, even on the day that her husband slipped into the Lord's presence. I went over to Jim and Lorraine's house that day, waiting till well into the afternoon, to not wanting to insert myself. And I went over to her mom, Kay's mom and dad's house. And as I walked in the room, it's like Kay wanted to put me at ease. You know, that's the kindness of God. That's a loyal love who shows that kind of hospitality to people who even come to grieve with her. How are you at caring, at listening? How are you at showing care for those who are infirm, those who are weak, and maybe who are coming to the end of their life? I think of people who, as we get older, we can't do all the stuff we used to do for each other. And sometimes it's really horribly embarrassing to go through those stages of life. Even though we know that God is with us, even though we know he's not gonna forsake us, to see people come alongside of someone who is has such embarrassing limitations. I saw this happen in my own family with my own parents, and watched my siblings care right up to the end, reflecting really the kindness of the one that they had known through the eyes of their parents. The goodness and the kindness of God. I'm going to do something right now. I'm not going to go on to the goodness. I've got so much I would like to share, but I want to do something right now. And we say in our notes, if you look at your bulletin, you'll see that there are a number of questions. But one of the bottom line, in just a few minutes, our young people are going to leave this service. And they're going to go up to the youth room, and they're going to basically, our two wonderful young interns are going to ask the kids who've been here listening to the message and done the singing. They're going to ask them, probably Sunday after Sunday, these two basic questions: what was that all about? What was the pastor trying to get through? That's the first question. The second question is, and this is really critically important, just a basic question week after week. What do I think God wants me to do with this? Now, we could have a discussion right now. You could turn to somebody around you. We're not going to do that right now. Maybe someday we'll do that. Or we'll turn to the people around us and ask this really, really important question. What do I think God wants me to do with this? What I'd like you to do now is for the next, I'm going to give you, when I stop talking, 2 minutes. And I want you to think. And if you've got notes right there, maybe at the bottom of the backside of your notes, simply respond to this question. What do I think God wants me to do with this? You got the assignment? Okay. Why don't you write? We'll all think. Would you stand with me as I lead us in prayer? Lord, we're thinking of the words of Peter, 2 Peter, that we are, as we grow in our relationship to you, we are to add to our faith goodness and kindness. Lord, we really desire that we would be growing in the way we reflect a relationship with you, a very real relationship with you, not a put-on relationship, but such a relationship that's ongoing, that we so see your kindness and goodness, that we reflect that to the people in our neighborhoods, to the people in our families, the people in our community, our neighbors. Lord, we really want to add to our faith this reflection of Jesus, not in our own strength, but in fellowship, in communion with the Holy Spirit who is in us. We thank you, Lord, that you want to help us grow. And so may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.